fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This week I've been talking about Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrated last Sunday, and dimensions of what it means to kind of unpack it. I think it's really good not to just let the feast go by because, as I mentioned earlier in the week, Pope Benedict XVI had reminded us when he was Pope that Pentecost really is the culmination of Jesus' coming and his work of salvation. Everything Jesus did on earth and everything the church exists to do is to help human hearts receive and be open to the gift of presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The promise, as St. Peter talked about it in the Acts of the Apostles, other apostles as well, the great promise of God is the gift of his own life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not an automatic. Every single person that exists is, in one way, clearly God's creation, is one way a child of God. But they're created by God. God loves them. God loves us all. But all of us who are created and loved by God are in a fallen and broken condition, separated from God. And the whole reason Jesus came was to deal with that problem. And Jesus came to deal with that problem and make a way to make it possible for us to be born again, to be brought to a place where we can be united to God in a life-giving way that can lead us from death to life and lead us to eternal salvation. That's why Jesus came. And it's not an automatic that just by virtue of being a hairless biped, being a human being, that you're in that condition. The condition we all share is our fallen condition and being separated from God. And so Jesus went through everything he went through. The condescension, becoming one of us, the Creator enters his own story. And through humble service, he humbled himself, becoming a servant of all in obedience to the Father and died that horrible death and was raised and is now at the right hand of the Father. All that so the new creation could begin in him. All that so the new thing God's doing to save the human race, the only thing he's doing to save the human race, is in what he's doing in his son Jesus. And Jesus now reigns at the right hand of the Father in all splendor and glory. And from that position of authority over all things, Jesus pours forth the Spirit, who's united to him in his mission, and he gives it to his people. And that's what it means to become a Christian, to repent of sins, to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to become a child of God. Now, yesterday, I began taking a look at a talk that Pope John Paul II gave in 1998. It's amazing how fast time flies. In the year of the Holy Spirit, a special year dedicated to prayer and pursuit and opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, he gathered all the movements of the world, the church. He gathered them all in Rome because he wanted to celebrate with them the Feast of Pentecost and to cry out to the Lord for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for a renewed Pentecost. And then he gave this very historic and important talk where he's talking about what Pentecost is, and then talked about the Holy Spirit acts throughout history and at any given time, the answer to the great challenges the church is facing when she's in a place of weakness or she's beaten down or compromised is renewal or revival. And what does renewal and revival always mean? It means human beings opening their heart to the present action of the Holy Spirit, who has the power to make all things new, to lead us deeper into, just like leading the apostles out of the upper room, the Holy Spirit comes to renew us and empower us. And so he's talking about how that grace has been unfolding in our time. And he said he began first with his picture and understanding of the Second Vatican Council. He called that experience of 2,500 bishops gathering from the world over that three-year period, he called it a renewed Pentecost, and God instilling in them an unforeseen and new dynamism. That's the Holy Spirit. He said that's the nature of what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he wants to do, not only with corporate realities like the magisterium of the church, the collective bishops gathering in a council. That's what he wants to do with us. The Holy Spirit given to us wants to do things in our lives and lead us to unforeseen things. He wants to instill in us something new, something fresh. And the Holy Father pointed to the movement that we're gathering and said, that's what happened to you. That's where you came from. That's where the movements, the lay movements, the neocatechumenate, the focolare, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, all these different lay movements, he said, have emerged from the council. And why they emerged after the council, he said, is because the bishops of the world, quote, rediscovered the charismatic dimension of the church as one of her constitutive elements. He goes on to say, that's where I left off yesterday. He goes on to say, the institutional, what's the institution of the church? Well, at its most fundamental level, it's priesthood, sacraments, magisterium, the fundamental kind of things that Jesus gave the church as her sort of fundamental structural reality in the world that won't change until he comes again. He said that's an essential part of it, but so is the charismatic dimension. Charism is gifts and gifts and presence of the Holy Spirit. So he says the institutional and the charismatic aspects are coessential. That is, they're both necessary. They're both of her very essence, the essence of what the church actually is. It's what, he says, constitutes the church. And so for the church to be healthy, she's got to be firing on all cylinders. She's got to be the entire reality of who she is needs to be recognized and welcomed and lived. He said they contribute in all differently, that is institution and charism, to the life, renewal, and sanctification of God's people. It's from this providential rediscovery of the church's charismatic dimension that before and after the council, a remarkable pattern of growth has been established for ecclesial movements and new communities, that something remarkable clearly has happened. These lay movements, which are apostolic, what does that mean? They're really focused on and have a passion for the mission of the church. For, like Jesus, going to seek and save the lost, to serve humanity and lead brothers and men and women into relationship with Jesus Christ, into salvation. New communities as well. These are referring to, for example, covenant communities, that is, pockets of community life where Catholics come together with an apostolic purpose, and they really have a life that they try together to live as radically as they can for the Lord and for the gospel, to be a sign in a world that's quickly running away from the kind of life and the way of life God intends for all people. He said, today the church rejoices at the renewed confirmation of the prophet Joel's words, which we have just heard. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. We rejoice, he said, because this is God's purpose. This is why Jesus died on a cross, rose again, is now at the right hand of the Father, so that the human race can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, you present here are the tangible proof of this outpouring of the Spirit. Each movement is different from the others, but they are all united in the same communion and for the same mission. You see, all of us are different, and God will work through all as he made us through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's lots of different movements and expressions, but everybody shares the same communion. What does that mean? We're all one in Jesus Christ. We're baptized into Christ, into one body. He's the head. We're all members of the same body. And the same life principle, the Holy Spirit, flows through all of us. It's the soul of the church. And that's the communion that we share and we express so deeply in the Eucharist. He said, so we're the same in communion and we're the same in mission. What's the mission? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go seek and save the lost. Who's the lost? Those who don't know Christ. There's been some real confusion in the church over the last 30, 40 years about that reality. And you know, certain voices within the church want to say, well, there are no more lost. There might be one or two out there somewhere, but everybody is already saved. Everybody is already connected to God in a way that they need to be connected to God. So the church should stop thinking that way because it's kind of exclusive. It's judgmental. It's intolerant, these kinds of things. And so this is where we need to have real spiritual discernment. The world, and especially that world that is fast turning away from God, is insisting that somehow the church change its view and its perspective. And voices within the church are echoing this, unfortunately, that somehow for the church to make truth claims, that is, what do we mean by that? Jesus Christ is God's only Son. Or as St. Peter said, there's no other name under heaven and earth by which a person can be saved. That's actually true. What the world is okay with is if we make meaning claims. If we say, you know, I do this, I follow Christ because it's meaningful for me. Well, you do what's ever meaningful for you. And what underlies all that is the presumption, is the silly idea that there are no universal truths. And that to assume there's a universal truth, like there is one God and Jesus Christ is his son and he's the only savior of the world, that's unacceptable in the current culture of relativism. It's unacceptable. And so, oh no, that's judgmental, that's intolerant. You can't think that way. You can't speak that way. So anybody who tries to make a truth claim is some kind of cultural imperialist or religious imperialist of some kind. So what the culture wants to do, in my view, and behind the world, remember, the apostles told us very clearly, the whole world is in the power of the devil. In a very real way, the fallen dimension of this world is being manipulated by spiritual powers and spiritual forces. And what they want the church to do is to shut down her mission. They want to silence the church. Why? So that people won't come to salvation. So that people will just presume that however they live, whatever life choices they've made, that's enough. And if there is a God, they're in, because they're making choices that are consistent with their own passions and their own desires. That's the nature of the fight we're in. And you see the renewal, as Pope John Paul II is talking about it here, and Pope Francis is right on board with the same thing. The idea of the surrender radically to the Holy Spirit, when we do that, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit leads us into a renewed Pentecost, the same empowerment and grace that the apostles received. And that always means deeper communion, means conversion to Christ. It means deeper communion, desire fellowship, to gather at the table of the Lord, to give worship together to the King, and then to engage his mission. And his mission is to go make disciples of all nations. So the Holy Father saw in these lay movements the providential redisc of the church's charismatic dimension. Why? Because he sees that visible communion. He sees that animation in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he sees that deep, loving conviction to engage the mission of the church. And he goes on, I love this line, he says, some charisms given by the Spirit burst in like an impetuous wind, which carries and seizes people and carries them to new ways of missionary commitment to the radical service of the gospel, instilling in each person an ardent desire for holiness. So authentic life in the Spirit and a surrender to the Spirit is going to have these kinds of signs. The Holy Spirit carries us where? Into deeper missionary commitment and the radical service of the gospel. Friends, that's Jesus's mission in the earth. So the Holy Father stood up that day and he said, join me as I cry out. Let's cry out together here at St. Peter's Square. And to all Christians everywhere, he said, to open yourselves docilely to the gifts of the Spirit. Accept gratefully and obediently the charisms which the Spirit never ceases to bestow on us. So in some ways, friends, the reason I'm speaking about this week is I want us to get to this point, to not just let Pentecost, a nice celebration, just be in our rearview mirror already, but to join the Holy Father, to join the whole church, and to say, Lord, send forth your gifts. We accept fully and obediently the charisms which the Spirit wants to bestow on us. Friend, pray that prayer in the privacy of your room. Get on your knees wherever you are. Say, come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart. I want to live fully in the gifts and the charisms and the grace that you've called me to. Lead me into the mission and my place in it for the glory of the Lord. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.